Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandy Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
It is time to kick some ass. Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandy Stankovic, for anybody out there that doesn't know me. And if you don't know me by now, get on and watch and listen to some other episodes. Why don't you? So welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm an executive coach and motivational speaker and also a mommy. And I've had the opportunity to work and travel all over the world. And that brought us to our topic today. So today's episode is officially titled Business with Latinos, but it really has an incredible opportunity to talk about the difference in culture between Latin America and business and international business and those that do business in the United States as well. And we have an amazing guest. His name is Maximiliano Altieri, and I will formally introduce you to him shortly. So let's dig right in. So I've explained to you and chatted with you about the way our episodes work. We've got three segments, as you know: learn, love, kick ass, right? In the learn section, it's a leadership challenge. It's where we really get into our hot box. We inhale, it's also exhale. We eat up topics. We talk about leadership and the purpose of business and how it impacts you and your lives today. And then we get into our love section, and our love section is especially lovely today, considering our special guest. He has me blushing, and he's not even on screen or on the podcast and audio yet, but you will enjoy learning from him, our subject matter expert. He's coming to us actually live from Uruguay today, but I think does business in Paraguay, and we'll learn more about that in a second. And then finally, our kick-ass section, because execution is everything, right? I want you to get out there and be able to start kicking ass today. Time to make things happen. Let's rock and roll. So when it comes to doing business with Latinos or doing business in Latin America, you know, what does that mean? How is that different? I've had the chance to work in a couple different capacities. One that I wanted to mention first was I spent some time in living in Mexico. So I lived in León, Mexico, and I worked with a company called Caja Popular, and it's a financial institution. It's essentially a credit union, or the Mexican equivalent of a credit union. And we were working to delivering education to the remote branch. Now, this is back a little while ago, so the internet wasn't the thing that it is today, right? So it's about delivering education when in a time that maybe we didn't have it as kind of frequent as we do now. But there was so many things that I learned in that process. I was down there for a few months, and there was the obvious, like language, right? So I spent a good portion of the time, probably half my time there, studying and further absorbing Spanish. So for anybody that's ever taken a foreign language in their lives, I've taken probably 15 years in all the schooling that I've had of a foreign language, and still I speak best after I've had like 5 beers, because it just, I mean, after a couple surveys says, you know, I'm solamente en español. But yeah, exactly. But nonetheless, language, you really immerse and absorb language when you are living and being a part of another country. But there's nuance and personality in that too. And that's what I really learned when I was spending time in Mexico, that I often wondered if my personality was the same that it is in English. So the confidence or approach or articulation that I have in English, is that equal when I'm speaking in Spanish? And I imagine that it's not, especially because Spanish, a lot of times for me, will end up taking me to a little bit more anxiety, because I don't speak it very often anymore. I speak it less and less. Then it was a little bit more frequent. But what is that? How does that confidence, how does that nuance, how does that personality translate? And so the same is true when you're working with people in your organizations or people in your lives where English is their second language, right? What does it mean that in their translation of both understanding, but also culture and personality? The second opportunity that I wanted to highlight where I was working abroad is during my MBA program. So my master's of business, and I actually did it with our guest that is going to be joining us here in a second. We went to school together, but I traveled to Brazil. We went to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and worked with TV Globo, and we were creating a flexible benefit program for them. And in the process of living down there, one, Portuguese is an entirely foreign, you know, language, even beyond in the the experience that I've had with Spanish, but also there were so many different things that occurred. One of them, the cultural differences. So maybe it's, you know, studied culture. You may have studied some of these kind of components, but one of the biggest that I felt in Brazil was the space differential, right? The fact that in the United States, we like these little bubbles of stay the heck away from me, right? Because we just like to have a little bit more space. Where in Brazil, you're smooching everybody, you know, when you first meet them, right? And you're also just getting a lot closer, a lot touchier, a lot more friendly. And if you don't participate in that, there's almost this standoffishness, that vibe that can be created. So it's not only that it's different, but it's also creating a negative kind of impact. Another thing that I learned in the cultural piece is time, the time difference. Americans tend to be very punctual. So being on time means 5 minutes before time. And if you're 5 minutes after time, wow, we're like way out of time. And this is, you know, such a, like, time is just so essential. And more in the things that we do, we require that of the people that we're around. And so time is a total difference. And Max, our guest speaker, may speak to this when he joins us here in a second. But even in the communications between him and I, he was much more like, yes, that just makes sense. We'll just do it at that time. And I'm like, it's going to be exactly this time. So I think I've learned in my time in Brazil, as well as in my time continuing to work with different people in different countries and that type of thing, is we have to just live in it, relax in it, and understand that the cultural differences can really impact our message and our ability to be understood. A silly example that I want to share, though, is when I was in Brazil, a lot of the gentlemen did the catcalling or the you know, for women when you're walking by, right? And when you first get there, it's different. And I was in my 20s, and so I loved it. I think I'd love it even more now. The older I get, I think you do love it more and more. But nonetheless, it was different, right? In the United States, if somebody kind of participates in that, it's almost like, who's that guy, right? And now you're there, it's much more accepted. It's almost like that just means you're a man and that you're participating in that. And so when I got home, I felt like I missed it. Right, you walk down the street here and thank you, right? But you know that you almost like aren't, it's just different. So you know, a silly example, but it just shows that the relationship between individuals, what we can really have is all up to interpretation, and culture plays a big part of that. So in leading up to this podcast, I reached out to several of my friends, my homies that work with the Latino population in different capacities, some here in the United States and some in other countries, and got their perspective. The first was from Sue Mitchell, my business partner, my mom, my best friend. She is the chair of the Global Women's Leadership Network, and I've spoken about it in some of the other podcasts as well. But we talked about the difference in gender roles and what that plays in regards to the Latino culture and working with countries in Latin America. And one of the things that she mentioned was that women are the center of the family and the matriarch a lot of times. And we're speaking generally, of course, but there really is like kind of this matriarch concept where the root or the hub, and there's a strong work ethic, and there's a lot of balancing of demands. They want a better life, they want to help their families, but they do a lot of work behind the scenes, because a lot of times the man might be out in front of the relationship. So there's more, I guess in American or Western kind of culture, it might be a little bit more of what we'd consider a traditional role of a gender role, where it's a little bit more in the forefront in some of the countries that we've worked with, in Mexico, etc. One of my other friends, his name is Raul Carranza, and he works out of Reno, Nevada, and his family is from Mexico, but both him and his wife are, you know, immersed in within that culture here in the United States. And he talked about machismo and just about how male-dominated the culture can be. And we talked about the benefits and the drawbacks, potential drawbacks there could be in that. The benefits are there's a certain amount of confidence and an authority and positioning in business. So doing business in that way, man to man, has these kind of underlying respect that might not be there, you know, in a culture that does not have that, the machismo, or it isn't as present. Some of the other side of it is that females may need to prove themselves a little bit more, come to the table, he was saying, with some facts and some data, and being willing to work through the difference. And I think that that's legitimate. I think just recognizing it as what it is, and then knowing and coming to the table and being prepared to deal with that. And he was saying respect and understanding and a willingness really is key to working through it. Another girlfriend of mine, or good friend, colleague, she works down in Orange County in financial institutions, does a lot of work with the Hispanic or Latino population in her area. And she says it's all about building trust and really creating that relationship built on trust. And Laura Zavala, another colleague of mine from Colorado that you're actually going to meet here in our shout out in a little bit, also kind of backed in that trust and said she believed the same thing that Leticia Amada did in saying that trust is everything. But it's not just about hiring bilingual staff or respecting the language, but it's also about being bicultural and recognizing and understanding the culture. And if you have employees or you can live and respect and understand the culture, then people will naturally want to be a part and trust you even more. And so, and she did kind of laugh after that and says, once you have the trust of one person in her family or in her kind of community, then you have the trust of their entire family and neighbors and friends and an entire community. So you get us all, she basically said. You get, you know, a whole group with one. And that, of course, came from Laura Zavala. So based on all of this information, I really want to hear it from somebody that not only has been doing business on an international front, but continues to do. And as I mentioned to you, is coming to us live from South America right now. His name is Maximiliano Altieri, and he is an old friend of mine. As I mentioned, we went to school together at the University of San Diego. He works currently, he's a managing director for a company called Celix, but worked for many years for Sony all across the globe. And his current organization is an innovative company that looks at distribution and integration of telecommunications and IT. So he's on the forefront of a lot of international business and innovation. So I'd like, please join me in welcoming Maximiliano. Hey, Max, how are you?
Hey, Brandy, how are you doing?
Good. And we were talking a little before, but it's really good to see you after so many years.
It's great seeing you again. And right now, I think we should hang up. You already touched most of the points that I was going to.
Sorry to steal it. Then were you with me in Brazil? Did you come to Brazil? Was that your abroad?
No, it wasn't me. I think you're confusing me either with Tom or Francisco.
No, there was several of us that went down from University of San Diego. Where did you do your international study? Did you go to
the U.S.? Come on.
I guess that would be obvious. Okay. So tell us, give us an overview of your leadership journey.
Well, after grad school, I went to Sony. I started working for free, believe it or not, with two masters. It was a tough time. I became an area marketing manager, and then I moved to Mexico City. I became a sales manager for Mexico City in charge of Vio IT. Stayed there from 2006 to 2008. Beginning 2008, I moved back to the US. I started running again the area marketing division for Vio. Latin America, Puerto Rico, and Canada. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there less than a year, and I got moved to Paraguay, and I became country manager for both countries, Paraguay and Uruguay, and opened both Sony offices here. And since there, I never left. In 2014, I quit Sony. I started my own company, and now I am doing business in Paraguay, Uruguay, and starting business in Bolivia.
Wow. And so did you originally grow up in Paraguay then?
Yes, I grew up in Paraguay. I went to England to study English, as you can tell by my accent. And then I moved to the US to do my graduate school with you guys. Mm-hmm. And after that, I, you know, lived between Mexico and the US for 10 years. Wow. In 2014, I moved back to Paraguay.
Is it good to be back?
In 2008, I'm sorry, 2008. It's good to be back. It was quite an adjustment. It took me probably 1.5 years to get used to my country again and my culture.
Wow, that's interesting. Why?
Well, because most of the things you just touch upon. Not only that, but also the infrastructure, the country, the culture. It's a cultural adjustment. Mm-hmm. The way I think about it is from the time you're born to the time you're like 10, you're a kid, you don't understand where you live. And then from 10 to 22, I live in Paraguay. And then from 22 to 30 or to 32, I lived in the US. So half my adult life, I lived outside my country.
Sure.
So I was neither Paraguayan nor American at that time. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to become Paraguayan again and Latino and to do some of the things
So what do you think is the most glaring difference between doing business, in the United States and in the other cultures that you've experienced?
Well, you already touch upon the time. You already touch upon the subject.
Well, tell us about it anyway. Like that, dude. That one of the things that you and I laughed about is when I first messaged you about the podcast, and I said, "Let's schedule for this part in advance," and you're like, "Call me the day before, and I can make it happen."
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the way it is here. I was kind of like, I knew you were going to come up with something like 1 or 2 months in advance, but I think you were like, I really don't know what I'm going to be doing in January. And if you would have asked me on Monday, I wasn't sure whether I was going to be here today or Monday.
Wow.
But I think a key in business between Americans and difference between business doing in America and Latin Americans is that everything is personal for Latin people. Mm. And for Americans, no. You know, business is business and personal is personal.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Or so they say. And, you know, I was reading the other day of an article, and I actually emailed it to you. Mm. And it's pretty funny because it discusses the communication process and the communication patterns that happened in a discussion or in a negotiation between when an American does business and when a Latin person does business.
Mm.
And it's pretty funny because when an American starts a conversation, they go straight to the point. They lay all the cards. Yeah. And then they start talking about it. They know what they want. They make sure you know what they want, how they want it. And then they just start talking about it. They might get louder. At some point, there is going to be something. You know, sarcasm is going to be there, especially when things get hot. And then fighting is okay. You know, discussing, yelling, it's okay. In the end, there's going to be some concessions, conciliation. You're going to reach a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And after all that, you're going to say, so this is what we concluded. And you're going to have a summary.
Sure.
And everybody's going to walk out of the meeting knowing what they got or what they didn't get. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're a Latin person, you're going to get into a meeting. And, you know, you have to understand that few things are important for Latin people. Especially, you can divide Latin between Latin more Spaniard-based and Latin more Italian-based. More Italian-based are the Americans. And the Mexicans, for example, have more Spaniard heritage. So for more Spaniard-based, self-respect, honor, pride, pundonor are very important things. So dignity is very important.
Hmm.
So another thing is liking the counterpart. So you're going to start a conversation, and it's going to be kind of romantic at the beginning. You're going to chit-chat. You're going to try to find something in common with the other part, and you're going to talk about it to the point that, you know, it might get awkward. You're going to say, if you're American, you're going to say, hey, we really need to get out of here.
Right. Interesting.
You know, you want to talk about it.
Right.
And then you're going to transition very smoothly to the subject. You know, it's going to get a little bit more emotional at some point. You're going to, you know, Latin people are going to lay all the points on the table. And then they are going to analyze the subject, and they are going to analyze the counterpart.
Hmm.
And when you're all said and done, and you know, when the both parts leave the meeting, there are two things that probably the party that, you know, your party, if you're in the meeting on the other side, you're going to say, hey, what do you think about this meeting? Yeah, it was good. What do you think about the guy? What do you think about the company? Do you like them? Do you trust them? Can we do business with them?
Hmm.
That's one of the things. So being liked is not so much of a self-esteem thing. It's more of a creating a trust relationship.
Interesting.
And the next time you meet, you're going to talk about the thing you have in common with them. You might even, you know, the relationship is going to be based both on business and personal.
Yeah, wow, that's really, and it's interesting to have you frame it that way, because obviously you do spend a lot of time in the personal kind of aspect and needing that relationship, or it's relationship focus, but you're so right. Like, I think the ideal meeting for an American is get in, get out, like get to the point, get out.
And have a conclusion.
Mm.
You know, when you're a Latin guy, you might get out of this meeting and not even know, you know, what is it that we agreed upon? Well, I'm not quite sure.
Wow. Yeah. So were you in that?
I'm not saying it always happens, but
sure.
It happens.
Right.
And, you know, it's quite funny because you're going to have a meeting with a Mexican guy, and it's going to be different than if you have a meeting with an Argentinian guy.
Sure.
Because
right.
Like I said, Argentinians are a bit more Italian-like. So you're going to have like a verbose approach at the beginning from an Argentina. They're going to be loud. They're going to talk about it. They are going to know what they want.
Hmm.
They're going to tell you this, that, and that. And then, you know, there's going to be a bit of aggression maybe in the meeting. You might have that. At the end, they are going to be flexible, and there are going to be concessions. And again, it's all going to end up related related to it liking you or not. And but they are much more louder, much more feisty.
Interesting.
You know, whereas Mexicans and some other Latinos, even Paraguayans, you might get out of the meeting and, for example, you might come and offer me a product. And you say, do you like it? Yes, yes, very much. And then you turn around, you leave the meeting, and you'll say, you know what? I like the guy, but I'm never going to buy that product.
Right.
They just don't. They really liked it. But it's because of they want to, you know, give you respect, dignity, self-respect, you know.
Yeah.
What we were talking about.
Right. Interesting. So what's your favorite part then about doing business in an international front?
Well, it's the business part is, it, you know, you can always hedge your risk. If you have a business in several countries, when one is not doing well, the other might be doing better.
Hmm.
So you hedge your risk. That's really what I like about international business.
Hmm.
You know, the traveling part is very nice when you are single.
Mm-hmm.
When you're married, to a Latino girl, well, it's not that good. And you know, ever since 2004, I haven't stopped traveling.
Mm.
And it gets up. You don't even enjoy vacations anymore.
Right. I can relate to that. Sure. And so when you moved back and you said that you were becoming a Paraguayan again, what were the things that you brought with you from your time in the United, in the American culture that you still implement or took a little time getting over?
Well, it's very hard to say, Brandy. Like I said, everything is based on the family. When you are a Latin guy, everything is based on family. So you will plan your weekends and you will have to make sure you go visit grandma, you visit your mother, you visit this and that. For example, I would be in Mexico sometime working and my mom would call me on a Saturday and say, hey, we're having lunch tomorrow. And I said, Mom, I'm in Mexico. And they would go like, why didn't you tell me? And like, why should I? And then, 37, I'm working. But,
right.
You know, you're still the little boy.
Sure.
You need to let them know when you travel. So those are the things. And then, you know, small things like how you drive. People, traffic, you know. Traffic laws are optional in Latin America. There's a stop sign. Nice. Is my car bigger than yours? Yes. So you should stop.
Right.
those things are, they take a little used to.
Sure. Know? Right.
And everything is relationship. Like I said, you might go to a nightclub. You might be in line waiting and another guy would come and cut you off. And he's not a movie star. He's just a guy that knows the bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
You might be much more important, much more related. You know, he knows the bouncer.
Right.
In the U.S., you know, they'll look you up, how you, if you spend money in the past or not, if you look good or not.
Right.
Of course, no, the bouncer is important, but, you know, it's going to be more in the business approach.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So what's
you
a
may come up with, you may come up with a black Amex, they let you in.
Right.
In Paraguay, you may come with a black Amex and the guy is the, you know, friends with the bouncer, you're out.
Wow. So what's a disaster that you've survived or, you know, a story, a funny story, an example of your acculturation?
Well, I'll tell you an acculturation to Mexico because it's funny. Me being Paraguayan, when I moved to Mexico from the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
I related more with Americans than with Mexicans. So I remember being in Mexico for like 1 week or so. And I remember my first meeting was with Office Depot.
Uh-huh.
So I was supposed to offer them the new lineup of bio computers we had. So I analyzed the whole lineup they manage. I analyzed their data, what they sold better, 15, 14 inch, what size, what brand, this and that. I found out our best model to compete with every other model. And I went with my sales rep. So the both of us went there. We sat down with the purchasing manager, big office. So I made my PowerPoint presentation.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the meeting, the guy doesn't even look at me. He looks at my sales rep and he goes, hey, would you mind telling your boss not to tell me how to do my job and maybe take me to lunch next time before offering me products to buy?
Wow.
So it was.
I was going to say, I feel like your approach was like perfect. Like if you had come to me, I'd have been like, okay, he's done his work.
Well, if I go to you and I sit down and I tell you nothing, but I invite you to lunch, what are you going to say?
Yeah, that I've got better things. Yeah. No, it's true. It's so different. Wow.
You
how
know,
intense.
You know,
what did you do?
You nothing. I took him to lunch next week.
Wow.
You know how long lunches are in Mexico?
How long? The food is delicious.
Lunch starts like around 2 p.m., 2 or 3 p.m. they start, and they finish at around 7 p.m.
Oh, I need to do more business in Mexico.
Customer. After that, I learned and I went with a fun customer to have lunch to a place called La Bodeguita del Medio. Mm. It's a Cuban restaurant, the same Cuban restaurant that is back in Cuba. They have it in Mexico. So we started lunch at 3 p.m. and then I finished lunch at 3 a.m.
Wow.
We had like four like that. So I kind of barely remember my time there.
Right. Margaritas are the best.
You can tell that I became one of the most successful salespeople in Mexico and also nearly an alcoholic.
I love it.
I never did have a PowerPoint to visit a customer.
Right. So share a takeaway or an action item to leave us with today and leave the listeners with. What's something that we could walk away with?
Just be yourself. Mm. I mean, at the end, things are going to come up. And you have to adjust. So that's something very important. Whenever you go to a country, you need to adjust. Maybe wait for them to do the first move.
Yeah.
Initially, as Americans, and me remembering my time there, you want to do the first move. You want to do the first thing. Maybe sometimes, depending on the country you go, it's better to sit down and see how they react.
Sure. Yeah. That's great. Well, it's wonderful to be looking at you, you know, across the internet and things. It's great to see your face. I appreciate you being here with us. You have a wealth of information and your stories are hilarious. So I really appreciate it. Next time you're in the US, come by and see us.
Will do.
And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or to take a look at your organization, where should they go? What's the website?
It's just my company name, CELEXX.LA.
.LA. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Max, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Soy Laura Zavala y estás escuchando a Brandy Stankovic on their Strategic Hotbox Radio. Descubre cómo Brandy encuentra el éxito en las cosas deliciosas de la vida. Find out how she finds success in the deliciousness of life.
Thank you so much to Laura Zavala for delivering that shout out to us. Thank you again to Max for talking to us about all of his experience in Latin America. Laura is involved in so many efforts. She's passionate about women leaders, about Latinas, about making a difference in the lives of the people that are in her community. So I really appreciate that, Laura. So we learned so much from Max, and now it's time, your favorite time, to kick some ass. So here's your top five. The first is respect. I say it as kind of just understanding, absorbing. You know, Max said it very well at the end there, to just stop and listen and learn from the people that are around you to make sure that you're giving the respect that the other culture, the other people in business want to do, so you can avoid situations like he had there in Mexico. Number two is to become bicultural. It was that the advice of our friend Laura that just gave the shout out, but it's and Max kind of reiterated or affirmed that. But you have to understand the culture too, because even in all the different Spanish-speaking cultures that he was talking about, there's such vast differences. The same is true within every country. There's so many differences amongst the people that live within the countries. So we want to become bicultural and have that thorough understanding. The third is to build trust. Take the time to have a 12-hour dinner, which I just absolutely have to have. I've got to go to do some business in Mexico. But take the time to do what's right for them. But very similar to that, in coming back to the United States, you know, you want to be able to get down to business in the way that the Americans are accustomed to conducting their business and those types of meetings. So you want to build that trust. And it really is a relationship. Number four is to check yourself. I use that kind of term and making sure that you're not just being so cool and you're in your own vibe, but that you're also living the vibe of what the people that are listening to you understand and want to hear and absorb. So check yourself. Know what it is that you're doing. Know how you're coming across. Know if you're getting, you know, too ahead of yourself or into business or that type of thing. Know, you know, the impact that you're making on the people around you. And finally, live and love. Love what you're doing. Live the culture. Love the culture. You know, get involved in understanding the people that you're around and absorb all that different cultures have to offer. Those are your top five kick ass. Mm-hmm. Thank you again to Max. You know, we'd love having him on the show. It's great to see him again and all the things that he's doing. We'd love to hear from you and all the listeners out there on topics that you'd like to tackle here in the Hot Box. So hit us up on Twitter or Insta or email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. But as always, until next time, get out there and kick some ass.